Today's reading begins in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11. For the Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me, and warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a strap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony. Seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are signs and potents in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. And when they say to you, Inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? To the teaching and to the testimony. If they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. They will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry. And when they are hungry, they will be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God and turn their faces upward. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the later time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The Lord has sent a word against Jacob, and it will fall on Israel, and all the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, who say in pride and in arrogance of heart, The bricks have fallen, but we will build with dressed stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will put cedars in their place. But the Lord raises the adversaries of Rezin against him, and stirs up his enemies. The Syrians on the east and the Philistines on the west devour Israel with open mouth. For all this his anger has not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still. The people did not turn to him who struck them, nor inquire of the Lord of hosts. So the Lord cut off from Israel head and tail, palm branch and reed, in one day. The elder and honored man is the head, and the prophet who teaches lies is the tail. But those who guide this people have been leading them astray, and those who are guided by them are swallowed up. Therefore the Lord does not rejoice over their young men, and has no compassion on their fatherless and widows, for every one is godless and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this his anger has not turned away, and his hand is outstretched still. For wickedness burns like a fire, it consumes briars and thorns, it kindles the thickets of the forest, and they roll upward in a column of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts the land is scorched, and people are like fuel for the fire, no one spares another. They slice meat on the right, but are still hungry, and they devour on the left, but are not satisfied. Each devours the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh devours Ephraim, and Ephraim devours Manasseh. Together they are against Judah. For all this his anger has not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still. Woe to those who decree iniquitous decrees, and the writers who keep writing oppression, to turn aside the needy from justice, and to rob the poor of my people of their right, that widows may be their spoil, and they may make the fatherless their prey. What will you do on the day of punishment, and the ruin that will come from afar? To whom will you flee for help, And where will you leave your wealth? Nothing remains but to crouch among the prisoners or fall among the slain. For all this his anger has not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still. Let's go back and consider a few things that we've read this morning. In verse 11, Isaiah describes his experience receiving this prophecy from the Lord as something that seems to be very tangible, very physical. He says, "The Lord spoke thus to me with his strong hand upon me." Ezekiel talks this way as well about God's hand physically being upon him. Sometimes we wonder what it must have been like to receive prophecy from the Lord. This gives us just a small insight. But he tells him, don't be like the people. Don't allow them to influence you. Don't go their way instead of pulling them toward God. At the end of chapter 8, we have this small section here where God poses an interesting question. There's going to be a time when the people say, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers. And the question is, should not a people inquire of their God? Seems like an obvious thing, but there's almost an amount of surprise within that question. Shouldn't that be where they go, not to these mediums and necromancers that chirp and mutter, or going to the dead on behalf of the living? Because they won't reach out to God, since they're going to have distress. Chapter 9 shifts gears a little bit and starts out poetic. Makes a reference to glory in Galilee of the nations. That should give you a clue right there as to what he's talking about. This is a messianic prophecy. And you're probably very familiar with verse 6 and 7. To us a child is born, to us a son is given. And then the names, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That he would be on the throne of David. And the zeal of the Lord of Hosts will do this. I'm skipping through those verses. But it should be quite familiar with you, this messianic prophecy. Verse 8 goes back to its condemnations, describing that he sent a word against Jacob and it fall on Israel, and all the people will know, Ephraim, the inhabitants of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance. This is all a judgment against the northern kingdom of Israel, and it has the repetition phrase about God's anger, verse 12, 17, and 21. They were arrogant, and they did not humble themselves in order to seek God. And we see a phrase that comes up several times, his hand is outstretched still. This combined with the first half of the verse, for all his anger has not turned away. This condemnation that is coming against them is described as being extremely thorough. There was no one in society that was going to be left untouched or unharmed or unaffected by this judgment. And what is the reason for all of this? It's wickedness. Verse 18, wickedness burns like a fire. It consumes briars and thorns, kindles the thickets of the forest. They roll upward in a column of smoke. Wickedness destroys. Sin destroys. So through the wrath of the Lord of hosts, the land is scorched. The people are like fuel for the fire. No one spares another. No one is going to be left untouched. Chapter 10, woe to those who decree sinful decrees and the writers who keep writing oppression to turn aside the needy from justice to rob the poor of my people of their right. This was a serious infraction in the eyes of the Lord that they don't care enough to give justice to the needy. In chapter 5, he makes the statement that they had been acquitting the guilty for a bribe and deprive the innocent of their rights. This injustice could not stand. God must punish it. And he begins to ask this question, when this day of punishment comes, who are you going to flee to for help? Where will you leave your wealth, as in, you know, where will you leave it as intending it to be in some safe place? Nothing will remain but to crouch among the prisoners or fall among the slain. For all his anger is not turned away and his hand is stretched out still. Think on these things today. And as always, please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.